This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Race Your Game. Good morning. Frida Liu here. And our topic today is what are the traits that have made Gen Y talents in Asian companies more creative? Which is a very interesting statement, just to say that. Anyway, I'm here with two people, Azim Pawanchik, Managing Director, and Dr. Soraya Sulaiman, Executive Director of Alpha Catalyst Consulting. Together, they'll be sharing some insights on what are the traits that have made Gen Y talents in Asian companies more innovative. They will also be talking about the survey they're currently conducting, the Innovation Crowd Survey 2013-2014, in collaboration with the University of Cambridge Judge Business School, to ascertain the state and culture of innovation within organizations in Asia from employees' perspective. So that's something that's currently being conducted, and we'll talk about that later. But there was an earlier survey done in 2009, and the results were shared in 2010. What were some of the objectives in doing that first survey?
I think back in 2009, there was a lot of buzz on innovation, but we, at that point of time, we were not clear where are we in terms of innovation. Do people really get what is innovation? So I think the main thing is to do to gauge, okay, how far ahead are we in terms of understanding of innovation. So when we did the survey, one of the key findings is that people still associate innovation with creativity, invention, about technology, but in actual fact, innovation can be many more things. It could be a new process, a new model. So what the survey does, it gives us a baseline. Okay, where are we now?
Okay, and secondly, the understanding of innovation.
Yes, what it means. And secondly, what are the biggest barriers, for example, to innovate? When we ask the questions to our respondents, what do you think the biggest barrier is to innovate in Malaysia, big picture, what was quite surprising, what came out on top was Malaysian culture.
Oh.
It's not enough funding or not enough, what do you call it, there's not enough government support or whatsoever, was Malaysian culture. And when we dig deep, what we found out was there's a culture of fear of failure.
Okay.
Okay. So from there, what we did was we pinpointed, for example, which sector really knows where they're supposed to innovate, and which sector, for example, is willing to take on risk to try to do something different. So in a nutshell, we find that IT sector was really ahead of the curve in terms of knowing where to innovate, willing to take risk to try to do something new. But one of the data points, in the end, we find that across all sectors, if you fail in an innovation project, you would be in big trouble.
Okay.
So I think what was another interesting thing was in terms of the barriers was that people didn't know where they needed to innovate. So that's key. So I think you hear a lot, especially of late, about people saying, oh yes, we need to be more innovative, we need to be more innovative, you know. Leaders are touting this throughout organizations. But employees are still sort of in the dark in terms of which area do we need to innovate in, which markets do we need to target. And so without this kind of definition, it's still difficult for employees to move forward to be innovative, I think, to take on that whole innovative persona.
Right.
Yeah, so it still presents a challenge.
And it always associated with being innovative is just a product. Right, and you were saying that it can be innovative in terms of processes.
Yes.
There's so many ways of being innovative.
Yes.
So we're still stuck there. And the fear of failure, the Malaysian culture is also, you fail. That
absolutely.
So you don't want to sort of break away from boundaries because everybody's looking at you.
Yes.
We have this very strong finger-pointing culture. So it's always about looking for that scapegoat. And I think, you know, you've seen it time and again in so many areas.
So Frida, I think you mentioned in the topic about Gen Y being more innovative. So it relates to our survey.
Yeah.
Back in 2009...
Because I'm surprised about being more creative, I guess, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Back in 2009, during the Global Entrepreneurship Week, there was a global competition organized by Stanford University. For students. So we realized that there was no Malaysian team have joined that competition before. So we worked with a few different partners. We worked with Air Asia, Bank Raya to promote the survey, to promote the competition in Malaysia. We had a series of promotion over a period of 1 month. So the bottom line is that there was 1,000 competitors from all over the world. Okay.
And none from Malaysia.
No, at before, that point. Before okay, that, there okay. was none. There were 1,000 competitors, but 2 Malaysian team actually went to the semifinals and 1 actually won.
Okay.
And when we look at it, it was not an issue that they don't know how to do it. They just feel that, they don't have the confidence to do it, even though they
wow.
do have the capability to do it. And you know how we managed to get them to be part of it?
Right.
We made it so simple that you have nothing to lose, and we provided them with 20 to 30 different prizes to compete at the Malaysian level first. You can win white water rafting, you can win, you can spend time with AirAsia X CEO. So because of that, what we saw was that if there's a slight chance of winning, okay, and I don't lose out anything by being part of it,
wow.
I will do it. Yeah.
Which is kind of sad in a way, because, yeah. you know, a bit complacent until we have to incentivize for them to participate. But it just goes to show that once you get started, we're good.
I think really just going on that once you get started. So what was really interesting is that the team who actually won had never participated in a competition. But because of the courage that it gave them, they felt much more confident after winning the competition that we helped organize at the Malaysian level. It gave them the courage to actually go into another competition, which actually brought them to London.
Wow.
So here is the fact about one is what is critical, especially when you're working with Gen Y, is to provide that platform for them to be able to participate in. And to give them the courage and the encouragement to be part of it.
Which makes me wonder then, why was that not? So this is something that has to be inculcated earlier on in schools, with parents, for them to try out. So, you know, which is, you'd think that, you know, they'd be a little bit more receptive to these things. So this is probably something, if you want to go deeper, we'll have to look at changing or innovating with the education system, yeah. Okay. But that's a topic altogether. So
all on its own.
On its own.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you talk about the what were some of the traits when you talk about innovation? Okay, or innovation drivers. What are some of the innovation drivers?
I think based on our survey data, a lot of Malaysian feels that it is the customers and it is the competitors who drives innovation. Because when the customer is demanding, they want more things from you, then you want to innovate because you know there's a return out of it. Secondly, is the competitors. The more intense the competition is, the chances of you being innovative would be very high. So these are some of the preconditions which I think is really ripe for the Asian market. For example, now, as consumers, we are going to benefit with having many more no-frills airlines coming to the picture. The low-cost airlines have to think different to serve the needs of customers. Secondly, because of social media, anything goes wrong within 30 seconds, it's out there.
You're in trouble.
Yes.
A screenshot has been done.
Yeah.
Has been saved.
So from there, when we talk about innovation, I feel that innovation should not begin by being a creative individual, but an innovator, a true innovator, is somebody who empathizes a lot, who knows what customer wants before they want it, by analyzing what's the issue, what are the challenges that they face, what are the experience of a customer. So that's why I would see that even though there's a lot of emphasis for us to go towards science and technology, we should not forget about people coming from the social science background. We also need to look at innovation from a public sector perspective, because to solve an innovation issue, let's say public transport, it's not about one party, but different parties collaborating and working together. The shift in the future, it would be more towards open innovation, crowdsourcing. For example, there's a problem, it's no longer the role of the government to solve a problem. So it would be a crowd can come in, provide a solution, create prototypes.
And we're actually doing that. When you're on Facebook and I have a concern about something, you know, I just post this question and someone will have, lots of people will have a lot of comments and answers. So we're already doing it. You know, so one of the things that, so this survey, the first survey in 2009 was just done based in Malaysia, and you're currently going to be doing one for Asia. So we'll find out a little bit more about that. And even with all this information that you gathered from the 2009 survey, with that information, how are you advising organizations? We'll find out in just a moment. Dr. Sarai Sulaiman and Azim Pawanchi from Alpha Catalyst Consulting, Race Your Game, BFM 89.9. It's Race Your Game. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. I'm speaking to Azim Pawanchi and Dr. Sarai Sulaiman from Alpha Catalyst Consulting. Description. We're talking about a survey they did in 2009, leading innovation that was just done for Malaysia. And some of the findings you were saying, how Malaysians are innovative when given a little bit of encouragement and given a little bit of incentive that they can do this. And, you know, some case studies, we actually won some worldwide competitions with the Gen Y in particular. Now, based on the information from the 2009 survey, what are you advising, I guess, organizations to do with these employees that have come into their fold?
I think where organizations are concerned is very much to engage their talents. Mm-hmm. So here, an organization is only as good as the people within it, because that's the life of the organization. And so the more you're able to engage them, the better the outcomes would be. And when it comes to innovation, what is key is really about providing them the direction to innovate and providing the platform for them to be able to communicate their ideas. Then subsequently will be to actually for the organizations to have the courage to put some of these ideas into implementation.
Hmm.
Right? And of course that the mother of it all would be creating that culture which actually encourages
right.
the talents to do things differently. So however, there are very few organizations who we can say have covered all the bases, I think here, especially in Malaysia. Many have embarked on the journey and are doing it, you know, some in slightly more piecemeal approach.
Right.
Right. So I think it, in a sense, it would be really fantastic to see a more systematic approach. And that's where we've been advising organizations. Have this really thorough approach which covers most of the bases at least.
Mm.
You know, really look at the culture within organization, take it seriously, because really the culture is about how things, it's whether it's behavior. Some people say a culture is a behavior, whether it's the behavior of the leaders, and you know, what are the values which are being transcended throughout the organization.
Frida, just to share, one of the outcomes of our survey out of the book, actually the Malaysian government approached us. We actually been working with National Innovation Agency, or AIM. They wanted us to build a scorecard using some of the, based on our research finding earlier, to measure innovation activity among the public listed companies in Malaysia. Okay. Because if you talk about innovation, there's not many companies actually looking at it from the soft elements. For example, we asked, when we build the scorecard, it's called the National Corporate Innovation Index, we asked companies, do you allow your Gen Y to take lead of in innovation projects? How much risk do you allow your people to take in your own organization? And for example, at board level, do you have enough diversity in at the board level to take on innovation projects, to do things differently? So that is one of the positive outcomes which have emerged from our survey. So some policies have actually been implemented to help drive innovation from a large scale. We were quite surprised, because we, when we did it, we wanted the data for ourselves, but it has been applied to in our government, our policies.
Okay.
As well.
So that's one thing that's changing now. Okay, now tell us a little bit about the survey that you're currently working on.
So the current survey is a collaboration with Cambridge Judge Business School.
Mm-hmm.
And here I think what is key is really to look at what are the practices of innovation within Asia? How different are different countries doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the approach? How do people and talents in different countries feel about innovation? So on one hand, it is about Malaysia. We have got data on Malaysia. And I think there have been a lot of programs and incentives and initiatives in terms of, I think, putting innovation on the ground in Malaysia. But how do we know whether that's enough or not? And, you know, when you talk about the region and us being more competitive, how do we know what we're doing, whether it's enough, whether it's fast enough?
Okay.
Right, and where are we when compared to other countries around us?
So this started a month ago. And the objective is concluded by?
The We're looking at probably middle of 2014.
Okay, yeah. So it's going to be a good 7 months to get this information.
Yes. Yes.
How are you reaching out to your target audience?
Okay, what we are doing is we are engaging different partners. For example, we started rolling out in Malaysia. We've got Malaysian Productivity Corporation as a partner. We've got the other one is we have Young Corporate Malaysians as a partner. So when they organize conferences, they actually allow us to go in there, distribute the survey to participants of that conference. So we are getting really hands-on data. And we are also working. We went to Singapore for another conference, and it's called the Facilitators Network Services, to actually blast out the survey to about 4,000 people in their network. So what we are doing is working collaboratively with different countries.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite successful. So far, we have about 400 over people already joining the survey.
From different countries.
Mm-hmm. Malaysia, because we started in Malaysia, so 80% came from Malaysia. Second biggest respondents comes from Singapore. Mm-hmm. And then there's some from Indonesia. And surprisingly, they were from Myanmar. Mm. And what's interesting, because they are also interested to be part of it, the team from Myanmar, there's an organization there, they were willing to translate our survey in Myanmar language for free, blast it out, and then they will help input into our system as well. So this is where we see innovation in the future happening in Asia. It's going to be a collaborative effort. Sometimes we don't have to wait for the government to make the first move to create that network. Yeah, private sector, interested individuals can make that happen.
Okay. And you're also working with the likes of Job Street, I understand?
We are in this discussion with them to help us share the survey, to get people to participate the survey throughout Asia. We are now exploring some incentives for people to join the survey. We've not worked out yet.
Mm-hmm.
When we did it the last time,
we need to incentivize them to take part in the survey. Okay.
The last time we did it, for every 5th participant to join the survey, we give a thumb drive. Now we are not sure yet. We'll figure out something soon.
Okay. It still has to be. Maybe this is just a Malaysian requirement. The other countries are not so particular.
Yes.
Because you got to give them something before they participate. Now so people generally can also go and take part in this survey. You got this website, alphacatalyst.com.
Yes.
/p/survey.
Well, they can just go to alphacatalyst.com,
see survey,
and basically they can see the survey button there, and they can, you know,
and you're targeting any particular generation?
No, we're targeting basically any employee in any organization size, in any industry.
Right.
So they're able to basically join. Because what we want to do is try to get a very rich data across various industries. Because what we've seen from the previous survey is also that you have differences between sectors. So how, whether the IT industry, so for example, like the IT and the oil and gas were the leading industries.
Mm.
Now, partly because they actually have probably the most intense competition, you can say.
Mm.
And that really drives them to be more innovative, to do things more differently.
And constantly encouraged to be innovative.
Yes.
Yeah.
So as opposed to, you know, probably the manufacturing sector and banking. However, you know, the banking sector,
you see,
does have its limitations because of all the restrictions that they have to face.
Yeah.
So that may be a limitation for them. So the key, I think, would be is to see across different sectors is that how can things be different? So even within the banking sector, what, it's not every single thing that is a no-no that you can't change.
I was just thinking about this, how media also plays a big role, as you were saying. You know, when you think of tech companies that have innovated, you think of the likes of Google and Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, and they've failed and they've started. It's very sexy. The story has been publicized. People hear about it. So you're almost encouraged. It's okay to fail, right? I mean, this is what we've been fed on. Whereas for the banking sector, when they innovate, we had the subprime problem.
Yes. We don't want a repeat of that.
You see, so how they view innovation can be researched. But it's interesting, and I think it's like, as you were saying earlier on, that innovation is not just about the product or service, but it's a process. How can things be improved? How are we encouraged to be more innovative?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think especially in the banking sector, you're talking about how do you engage your customers? So from a service perspective, this is huge, I think, area where innovation can be infused in.
Okay, so for those of you who are keen to take part in this survey, go to alphacatalyst.com and you know, you can see the survey there. Do take part, make it more rich and meaningful. Azim Pawanchik, Managing Director, and Dr. Soraya Sulaiman, Executive Director of Alpha Catalyst Consulting. This is Raise Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.